It began like most stories on a phone screen. A right swipe, a flurry of messages, a promise that felt real. By the spring of 2024, federal agents in Los Angeles were tracking the man behind those promises. He had moved across dating apps under half a dozen names, each one claiming to be an investor with inside access to lucrative projects. Behind the selfies and warm texts were wire transfer receipts, forged portfolio PDFs, and bank trails stretching back 3 years. When the door finally opened to a warrant team at dawn, the illusion collapsed. The investigation that followed revealed how romance could be engineered into revenue, how affection became currency, and how a few lines of code in a dating app could open a gateway to one of California's most elaborate financial fraud schemes. Chapter 1, Swipe, Match, Disappear. At dawn on April 3, 2024, a convoy of unmarked sedans turned off Wilshire Boulevard and stopped in front of a glass apartment tower. The agents inside wore dark jackets with yellow FBI lettering. Their target was a 37-year-old man who, according to investigators, had spent 3 years building a fraud network from his smartphone. The arrest was quiet, clinical. A neighbor later said she thought it was a movie shoot until she saw the evidence boxes being carried out. From the outside, the suspect's life looked enviable. His social media posts showed rooftop dinners, borrowed luxury cars, and captions about building generational wealth. The truth was coded in the details beneath those images. Recycled investment pitch decks, burner phones, and an expanding list of romantic partners who believed they were part of his business circle. The beginning, swipe logic. Investigators traced the earliest profile to June 2021. The bio line read, "Entrepreneur and early stage investor. Let's build something together." Within weeks, he matched with several women across Southern California. His pattern followed a precise rhythm. Fast emotional connection, followed by a pivot toward shared opportunity. He would talk about access to private energy startups, invite them to invest modest amounts, and promise returns within 60 days. Each conversation began with warmth. "I like that you're goal-driven," one victim later recalled him saying. "You think long-term like I do." The flattery was deliberate. Within days, he moved from casual chat to offers of mentorship. He told them he was forming a limited partnership and needed people he could trust personally. The investments were small at first, a few thousand dollars transferred through Cash App or small wire deposits into an account labeled Aurora Capital LLC. The returns never came. Instead, new excuses appeared: a delayed filing, a regulatory freeze, or a partner who had backed out. The first red flags. By early 2022, complaints were quietly surfacing in online forums about a man using multiple dating apps to push investment pitches. Screenshots circulated of the same profile photo under different names. Victims compared notes. The writing style in his messages, warm greetings, then complex business talk, repeated like a template. A woman in San Diego described how he convinced her to refinance a small home loan to free up liquidity for what he called a short-term bridge opportunity. Another in San Jose said he offered to pay off her student debt if she could invest an equal amount into his crypto arbitrage fund. When victims began comparing stories, they noticed every deposit went to one of three accounts controlled through digital banking platforms. Each account connected to shell entities registered under slightly altered names of legitimate companies. To the untrained eye, the documents looked authentic: letterheads, seals, even signatures. The first report. In August 2022, the first formal complaint reached the Federal Trade Commission's online fraud portal. The complainant reported losing $38,000 to a man she met on Hinge. She provided screenshots of their chat, including PDFs he had sent with supposed investment statements. The case was forwarded to the FBI's Financial Crimes Section in Los Angeles. Agents opened what they labeled a romance investment hybrid fraud investigation. Over the following months, analysts combed through digital payment trails. The man's device history showed constant movement: Los Angeles to San Diego to Oakland. Each new city coincided with a cluster of fresh dating profiles, building the persona. The suspect's strategy relied on emotional engineering as much as financial deception. He mixed professional jargon with personal charm, portraying himself as both mentor and partner. To one woman, he was a venture capitalist; to another, a renewable energy consultant. He adapted his story to their interests. If a match mentioned real estate, he shifted toward property flipping. If she worked in tech, he spoke about seed funding. Investigators later found multiple voice memo files where he rehearsed sales pitches aloud. In one, he said, "If you believe in me, you'll believe in the deal." It was the same phrase several victims remembered verbatim. He also mirrored his victims' language. When one woman expressed fear about investing, he replied, "I'd never put you in a position that's unsafe. You're my future." Those words blurred professional and romantic lines, the very fusion that made his scheme effective. Tracking the digital footprint, the FBI's cyber analysis team began mapping his devices. Each dating app account required an email, phone number, and IP address. By cross-referencing login timestamps, agents identified overlapping activity windows. The same IP block appeared across Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge profiles, all created within minutes of each other. From late 2021 to mid-2023, the suspect had generated at least 12 distinct identities. Each used professional-grade headshots and slightly varied bios. He kept spreadsheets of victim data, names, occupations, income brackets, and emotional notes like trusts fast or needs reassurance. Agents subpoenaed metadata from the dating platforms. They found that the suspect used an automated scheduling tool to rotate between conversations, a system similar to customer relations software used in marketing. Every evening between 6 and 10 p.m., he messaged potential victims, often using copy-pasted lines. Emotional fallout. For those involved, the realization of fraud came slowly. Victims described the betrayal not just as financial but personal. One woman said, "He made me feel like I was part of his future. Losing the money hurt less than losing the idea of him." Support groups online began sharing resources for people targeted through dating app scams. The FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, noted a rise in similar patterns nationwide, affection leading to fake investments. The term pig butchering appeared in law enforcement briefings, referring to schemes where trust is built, fattened, and then exploited. Yet this case stood out. Unlike overseas operations, the man was domestic, educated, and fluent in American finance culture. He knew what legal phrases to drop into a conversation to sound legitimate. The financial trail. By winter 2023, the losses surpassed $2 million. Funds moved through nested accounts, then into cryptocurrency wallets on two major exchanges. Agents traced transfers that converted U.S. dollars into stablecoins, then into private wallets later used to purchase vehicles and pay off personal credit lines. Each layer of movement added complexity. But the break came when one exchange flagged a wallet for unusually frequent small withdrawals, a sign of structuring designed to avoid reporting thresholds. That alert triggered an automatic suspicious activity report, routed back to federal investigators. The tipping point. Agents now had proof of linked financial accounts and app profiles. What they lacked was direct attribution, tying the online identities to a single device. They obtained a court order for cell tower pings linked to the suspect's primary phone. The data showed the same tower activity during login sessions across all his dating accounts. In March 2024, investigators executed a controlled meetup using an undercover profile. The operative, posing as a potential match, agreed to meet him at a cafe near downtown Los Angeles. Surveillance teams watched as he arrived in a leased vehicle registered under one of his shell companies. They confirmed visual identification and moved to secure a federal warrant. The arrest. On April 3rd, agents entered his apartment under the authority of a search and arrest warrant. Inside, they found three smartphones, a laptop, and several external drives. On one table sat a printed checklist. Follow-up, Melissa, crypto.doc/Jamie, wireconfirm/Nicole, investor dinner. Each name corresponded to victims already identified in the case files. The devices were sealed and transported for forensic imaging. In one drawer, agents found envelopes with handwritten notes of gratitude from victims, evidence that he had maintained emotional correspondence even as funds disappeared. Aftermath of Chapter 1. As the sun rose that morning, the illusion ended. The man who had built his world through charm and code now faced a spreadsheet of evidence. The victims, notified later that week, began to process what had happened, that their affection had been turned into an investment vehicle. Investigators would spend months decoding his digital archive. They would discover forged escrow statements, fake property deeds, and template-based investor decks. But in this first act, what mattered most was the reveal of method, how a social app became the front door to a multimillion-dollar con. By the end of Chapter 1, the central question was clear. How did a space built for love and connection become the staging ground for financial manipulation? The answer would emerge from the devices on that apartment table, and from the stories of the people who trusted him. Chapter 2: The Pattern Behind the Profiles. When the evidence lab in Los Angeles received the seized devices, the data count ran into the millions of files. There were text messages, dating app logs, PDF attachments, bank screenshots, and voice notes. The digital forensic team began the slow process of triage, sorting what mattered from what didn't. Their goal: to reconstruct how one man transformed a handful of romantic matches into a sustained criminal enterprise. Early traces. Special Agent Teresa Gutierrez led the data reconstruction. Her first task was timeline building. Every login, message, or wire transfer became a node in a growing map of connections. She noticed that his activity spiked in three bursts: summer 2021, spring 2022, and winter 2023. Each burst aligned with a new set of dating profiles. The usernames were always slight variations. Investor J, Marcus C underscore 21 Grant Futures. The same photographs appeared across platforms with different filters or cropped angles. Investigators could even trace where the photos were taken: rooftop lounges, short-term rentals, and co-working spaces across Los Angeles and Orange County. The metadata in the images told a story of movement and control. Every photo had been edited on the same laptop later seized at his apartment. The messages revealed a formula. He opened every chat the same way: "You look like someone who knows how to build something lasting." Then he pivoted to talk about shared values, independence, and success. Within a week, he'd introduce his business model, a supposed private investment pool where he and his closest partners funded startup deals vetted through his contacts at the Securities and Exchange Commission. The human pattern. The victims' stories shared common traits. Most were professionals in their late 20s to early 40s. Many were financially stable and had no history of fraud involvement. They believed him because he spoke their language: budgets, growth plans, tax strategies. He wasn't selling a fantasy of luxury. He was selling the illusion of shared ambition. One woman told agents that she met him at a downtown restaurant. "He didn't act like a con man," she said during her recorded interview. "He showed spreadsheets, charts, even digital dashboards. I thought he was legitimate." Another recalled how he sent her detailed monthly updates on investment performance, complete with color graphs. Forensic review later revealed those graphs were copied from public stock index reports and reformatted under his fake company's logo. The manipulation was psychological as much as financial. He blended romance with reassurance, guilt, and urgency. After each transfer, he would message things like, "I'm proud of you for trusting your vision." When victims expressed concern, he'd respond with mild disappointment: "I thought you believed in what we're building." Assembling the financial chain. By mid-2023, agents had identified 12 verified victims, with combined losses exceeding $2 million. The key to the case was proving that the money transfers were part of a single scheme, not isolated relationships gone wrong. Financial analysts from the IRS Criminal Investigation Division joined the task force. They traced funds from personal bank accounts into layered entities: Aurora Capital LLC, Blue Ridge Ventures, and Westline Holdings. Each company had registered addresses in co-working offices where rent was paid for only a few weeks before disappearing. Using subpoenas, investigators retrieved corporate documents signed under aliases. Yet the signatures all matched the suspect's handwriting. Bank accounts under those entities showed constant cash flow, money in, money out, but none of the normal business expenses one would expect from a legitimate venture. There were no vendor payments, no payroll, no tax filings. The digital evidence. The digital forensics report became the backbone of the case. On his main laptop, analysts discovered folders named clients and investors. Inside were subfolders labeled with first names and dollar amounts: Maya underscore 85K, Lori underscore 20K, Anita underscore 40K. Each folder contained identical PDFs, varying only in name and date. They carried forged legal seals and fictitious attorney signatures. When investigators called the law firms whose names appeared on those documents, everyone denied any involvement. Agents also found a note in his phone's notepad app that read, "Rules of engagement: build trust first, show documents second, collect wire within 7 days." The entry was timestamped July 2022. That single line established intent and planning. In a separate encrypted messaging app, he had archived voice memos of his conversations. He used these to refine his approach, re-listening to what worked on previous victims. In one recording, he told a woman, "I can't take your money if you don't understand the risk, so let's walk through this together." The tone was calm, practiced, the performance of integrity. The analytical breakthrough. The turning point came when forensic analysts discovered a pattern in the file names of his fake investment statements. Each PDF included a 5-digit number in the corner. Random at first glance, but when plotted chronologically, they matched transaction IDs from wire transfers received into his accounts. That meant he was cataloging every victim's payment manually, tying digital documents to specific deposits. Once prosecutors saw that correlation, they moved quickly to secure a formal indictment. The U.S. Attorney's Office began drafting charges for wire fraud and money laundering. But the team still needed one more layer of proof. Direct evidence that the suspect had used interstate communications, texts, calls, or internet transmissions to facilitate the fraud, satisfying the federal jurisdiction requirement. For that, they turned to telecom data. Subpoenas to his mobile carrier revealed thousands of text messages crossing state lines. Many were sent while he was traveling to Nevada and Arizona for short stays. That sealed the jurisdiction argument. Victim coordination. The emotional side of the case was handled by victim advocates. They reached out individually, explaining the process of restitution and court testimony. Several women agreed to cooperate, though some declined public exposure. They described feelings of humiliation and self-blame. One survivor said, "I'm an educated woman. I never thought I could be scammed by someone I was dating." Another added, "He used the word we constantly. We're partners. We're investors. I thought it was love and business mixed together." The investigators documented these accounts carefully, understanding that the human dimension was essential for prosecutors to explain motive and harm. The role of the platforms. While reviewing the digital trail, agents also examined how dating platforms handled user reports. They discovered that several victims had reported suspicious behavior as early as 2022, noting that the same person kept appearing under new names. Platform compliance teams confirmed that some profiles were removed, but new ones emerged within days. The suspect used VoIP numbers and disposable emails, which allowed him to bypass basic verification systems. This raised a secondary question. Could the platforms have done more? Legal experts noted that Section 230 protections shield social media companies from liability for user-generated content, limiting what authorities could demand. Still, the investigation prompted discussions about enhanced fraud detection, including behavioral flagging for financial solicitation. Cross-state cooperation. By late 2023, the case expanded beyond California. Financial records tied to victims in Oregon and Arizona triggered coordination between multiple field offices. A joint case file labeled Operation False Promise was created, integrating FBI, IRS, and Department of Justice analysts. Agents mapped his travel through airline and hotel bookings. Every new trip corresponded to fresh dating activity. He'd arrive in a city, activate his profiles, and within days, arrange coffee meetings that doubled as recruitment opportunities. One notable discovery came from an Uber receipt. The drop-off location matched the home of a victim who later reported a $120,000 loss. That ride receipt established physical proximity on the same night funds were wired, a timeline prosecutors would later use to show continuity of intent. The psychological framework. A behavioral analyst from the FBI's criminal profiling unit reviewed transcripts of his messages. She identified patterns consistent with coercive persuasion, mirroring language, intermittent reinforcement, and emotional triangulation. He alternated between affection and withdrawal, a tactic that heightened dependency. Messages often began with compliments, but ended with subtle pressure. "You're different from the others, don't make me question that." This behavioral evidence strengthened the prosecution's narrative. The fraud wasn't opportunistic, it was structured manipulation. He exploited human attachment to gain financial control. Preparing the case. In January 2024, a grand jury began reviewing evidence. Prosecutors presented excerpts of chat logs, bank statements, and digital forensic summaries. Each exhibit built the same portrait, deliberate deceit masked as romance. Agents reconstructed the timeline visually, projecting color-coded charts that connected each dating profile to corresponding wire transfers. The pattern was undeniable. During testimony, one investigator described the scheme as a digital Ponzi with emotional capital. That phrase would later appear in media coverage after the indictment was unsealed. Inside the data room. Meanwhile, forensic technicians continued extracting data from the seized drives. Among the recovered files was an unfinished document titled Next Phase, 2024 Strategy. It outlined plans to expand operations to Miami and Chicago, suggesting the fraud was scaling beyond California. The strategy draft included notes about creating mentor teams, new victims who would unknowingly recruit others. It read like a pyramid structure built on romantic trust. Had the arrest not occurred, investigators believed the losses could have doubled within months. They also found receipts for luxury purchases, designer watches, cryptocurrency hardware wallets, and payments for social media advertising. The ad invoices showed that he promoted motivational posts under pseudonyms, encouraging followers to trust your heart in business. Each post served as a recruitment funnel. The victim's turning point. By the time news of the arrest reached the victims, many expressed mixed emotions, relief, anger, embarrassment. Some had already joined online communities supporting victims of romance scams. Through those networks, they shared evidence, which helped corroborate FBI findings. One woman later said in a public statement, "He didn't just steal money. He stole our sense of judgment." The victim's statements became integral to sentencing recommendations later, though at this stage the case was still in pretrial motion. Linking the evidence. The final connection came from property records. Investigators found that the suspect had transferred funds from his shell accounts to purchase a small investment property under yet another alias. The down payment, $210,000, matched deposits from two victims within days of their transactions. Title searches showed quick flip sales with inflated valuations, classic laundering technique. When agents overlaid bank records, chat timelines, and real estate filings, the fraud structure was complete. Each step, romantic contact, emotional bonding, financial pitch, wire transfer laundering, repeated with precision. Federal charges filed. On February 29, 2024, prosecutors filed a sealed complaint in the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California. It listed multiple counts of wire fraud, money laundering, and identity misuse. An arrest warrant followed, leading to the operation detailed in Chapter 1. For investigators, it marked the end of the evidence-gathering phase and the start of prosecution. But for the victims, closure was still distant. Many continued to receive follow-up interviews, clarifying timelines and verifying messages. The psychological toll lingered. The chapter's end. By March 2024, as federal agents prepared the arrest, they had a clear picture of the fraud's anatomy, how one man engineered affection into transactions. It was no longer about a few deceived individuals, it was about systemic manipulation at scale. Every line of text, every emoji, every good morning message now lived in an evidence folder. Together, they revealed the machinery of digital trust, how technology that connects hearts could also extract bank codes. The question at the end of this phase wasn't just how he did it, but why he believed he could get away with it. Chapter 3, The Digital Paper Trail. When the federal warrant was executed, the agents expected a clean arrest and a messy data recovery. What they found exceeded both. Inside the suspect's Los Angeles apartment, every surface told a story. Hard drives labeled projects, business cards bearing half a dozen company names, stacks of printed bank statements. All became pieces of a digital puzzle that had taken 3 years to build and less than 3 hours to dismantle. The evidence lab. In the months following the arrest, the devices were analyzed at the FBI's Regional Computer Forensics Laboratory in Los Angeles. The team imaged each drive, preserving bit-for-bit replicas for evidentiary integrity. By the end of April 2024, technicians had indexed more than 12 terabytes of data. The index showed an extraordinary level of organization, folders arranged by year, app, and victim alias. It was not the chaos of an impulsive scammer, it was the archive of a planner. Agents discovered spreadsheets listing active deals with columns for emotional status, investment stage, and projected ROI. Under emotional status, entries read secure, doubt rising, or requires reassurance. Each phrase described not a financial forecast, but the state of trust between him and a victim. That document, prosecutors later said, transformed the case from ordinary fraud into deliberate psychological exploitation. the forensic reconstruction. Digital specialists traced the suspect's communications through timestamps. They created a multi-layer timeline, each dating app interaction, each money transfer, and each device backup. The sequence revealed that he often scheduled new investment pitches hours after previous victims wired funds. It wasn't random. He operated like a small business with turnover goals. Messages showed that he frequently celebrated milestones to himself. Closed 3K today. Hit monthly target. Expand Bay Area circle. The language was cold, transactional, and self-reinforcing. Investigators also uncovered draft documents labeled investor updates, Q1 2024. They contained fake performance summaries written weeks before his arrest. These files referenced new offshore partnerships, suggesting he intended to continue scaling his operations through foreign accounts. Inside the ledger, among the digital discoveries was an encrypted Excel workbook simply titled LedgerX. When analysts cracked the password using forensic tools, they found meticulous records of every dollar received. Each entry included initials, app used, and routing numbers. Totals matched the amounts victims reported. The ledger balanced perfectly, $2,071,000. The precision stunned even seasoned agents. He had tracked his fraud like a corporate accountant. Every payment was logged, cross-referenced, and color-coded. Next to certain names, short notes appeared. Loyal, emotional, move to crypto. Those annotations became critical evidence of intent, establishing that he understood the emotional leverage behind each transaction. Confession and interrogation. After his arrest, the suspect initially invoked his right to remain silent. 2 days later, during an interview with his attorney present, he began to talk. The session was recorded on video and later transcribed for court. He admitted to accepting money from romantic partners, but denied calling it fraud. "They wanted to invest," he said calmly. "It wasn't my fault the deals didn't pan out." Agents presented him with copies of forged documents and false company registrations. His expression shifted. "I just needed time," he murmured. "The market crashed. I would have paid them back." Throughout the interrogation, he maintained a curious detachment, acknowledging deceit yet framing it as business failure. Psychologists later described it as cognitive minimization, common among white-collar offenders who blur moral lines between persuasion and crime. When asked why he used dating apps rather than professional networks, he replied, "People on LinkedIn ask too many questions. People on Tinder just want to trust." That single statement encapsulated the case. A social system built for intimacy turned into an access point for financial extraction. The federal indictment. On May 15, 2024, the indictment was unsealed. It charged the defendant with 10 counts of wire fraud, 5 counts of money laundering, and 1 count of identity theft. Each count carried potential sentences of up to 20 years. The press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office described a pattern of calculated emotional manipulation through digital platforms designed for dating. Federal prosecutors detailed the timeline from 2021 to 2024, emphasizing how he leveraged emotional rapport to solicit investments under the guise of partnership. They presented bank records, IP logs, and metadata tying each alias to his personal devices. During arraignment, the defendant pleaded not guilty. The courtroom was quiet except for the rustle of papers. Several victims sat behind the prosecution bench, listening as the judge ordered him detained pending trial due to risk of flight and potential digital reoffense. The plea turn. Over the summer, plea negotiations began. The weight of digital evidence made conviction almost certain. By August 2024, his defense agreed to a deal, a guilty plea to 3 counts of wire fraud and 1 count of money laundering, in exchange for dismissal of remaining charges. The plea included restitution of approximately $1.9 million and a forfeiture clause covering vehicles, cryptocurrency, and real estate purchased with stolen funds. In court, he read a brief statement. "I take responsibility for poor choices and for hurting people who cared about me. No apology beyond that." Victims later said the words felt rehearsed, like another script from the apps. The psychological cost. As sentencing approached, victim impact statements filled the docket. One woman wrote, "He made me feel intelligent and seen. Then he turned my trust into his paycheck." Another said, "He didn't steal my money. He stole my ability to believe in people." A therapist specializing in financial trauma explained that victims of romance fraud often experience symptoms similar to emotional abuse, anxiety, shame, and self-doubt. The hybrid nature of the crime, combining affection with deceit, made healing difficult. Support groups and advocacy programs began citing this case as a textbook example of emotional financial fraud, a growing subcategory of digital crime. The FBI later incorporated anonymized details into a public awareness campaign titled, Think Before You Transfer. The sentencing. On November 6, 2024, the court reconvened for sentencing. The prosecution recommended 12 years in federal custody. The defense requested leniency, citing lack of prior record and cooperation. Judge Elaine Duran read from the victim letters before delivering her decision. This was not a business venture gone wrong, she said. This was predation disguised as partnership. She imposed a 10-year sentence and ordered supervised release upon completion, plus mandatory participation in a financial ethics rehabilitation program. The defendant showed little emotion. As marshals led him out, one victim exhaled audibly, a release that marked the first real sense of closure in 3 years. Restitution and recovery. Restitution efforts began immediately. Federal marshals liquidated seized assets. Two vehicles, a condominium, and cryptocurrency wallets. The recovery covered less than half of total losses, but it offered symbolic relief. Some victims formed a private online group to support others targeted through dating app scams. They exchanged advice on digital safety, red flag recognition, and emotional recovery. One member described it as turning pain into prevention. The FBI held briefings with major dating platforms, urging better fraud detection algorithms and user education tools. Companies pledged new verification layers and scam reporting options. Lessons from the case. For investigators, the takeaway was clear: digital intimacy creates new vulnerabilities. Romance fraud no longer relies on foreign call centers or stolen photos. It can originate next door, with a smartphone and a rehearsed story. Special Agent Gutierrez summarized it during a post-case seminar. He didn't hack computers, he hacked trust. Her team's findings emphasized that fraud detection must evolve beyond financial anomalies to include behavioral patterns, repetitive emotional scripts, mirrored conversations, and sudden financial requests cloaked in affection. The case also sparked broader debate about ethics in technology design. If platforms optimize for connection speed, they also amplify the risk of manipulation. Experts called for integrating financial fraud education into user onboarding, just as cybersecurity warnings became standard in email services. The aftermath. By early 2025, the victims had received partial restitution checks. Many continued therapy or advocacy work. Several spoke anonymously to journalists, hoping to warn others without reliving the trauma publicly. The suspect, now inmate number 72241-097, was transferred to a low-security federal correctional facility in Arizona. Prison records show he enrolled in business ethics and accounting courses, an irony not lost on those who followed the trial. Prosecutors closed the file with a memo stating, "This case demonstrates how technology designed for personal connection can be weaponized for economic gain through emotional deception." Reflection. The story began with love and ended with ledgers. It moved from profiles and flattery to warrants and spreadsheets. The numbers were stark: $2 million, 12 victims, 3 years, but the emotional toll defied quantification. When agents reviewed the final forensic summary, one detail stood out: a note recovered from the suspect's phone, unsent and unfinished. It read, "If only I could make them believe again." It wasn't clear whom he meant, his victims or himself. The line lingered in the case files, a final echo of a man who learned how to profit from trust until trust finally collapsed around him. Closing note. Federal investigators ended their report with a warning still relevant today. Romance scams thrive where loneliness meets technology. Verification is protection. Skepticism is survival. And so, from a few swipes on a screen to a courtroom sentence in Los Angeles, the case of the dating app investor became a cautionary marker of the modern age, a story of how love, when engineered for profit, leaves behind nothing but digital footprints and human scars.